fighting for America.
And it is clear that the intent of Congress was to make sure that every eligible American had access to those tax credits.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Fighting for Idaho.
I'm really disgusted at all the hoopla and the noise that has been made because of Tony Dungy's comments.
I'm shocked that you don't see the problem here. I'm truly, utterly shocked.
Get over it.
Fighting for you.
The Bilderberg meetings are not open to the public, are they?
Who cares? It's not going to change nothing. So, Mark, come back to Earth and talk about the topic.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
How about some common sense?
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, K. Miller in the morning. We're joined by an old friend. It's been a while, and when I thought about what was going on in Gaza and Israel, I saw there's one person that I haven't spoken to, I think, since I was in Pittsburgh, and that's Jonathan Wolstetter. Jonathan, good to have you with us.
Oh, good to be with you, Kevin, and with your audience.
So for people that are unfamiliar with you, your research, and your work, if you could let us know what you've been up to, and before we get to the topics at hand, tell us a little bit about yourself and your area of expertise, sir.
Very well. I am a senior fellow affiliated with two organizations, Seattle-based Discovery Institute and the New York-based London Center for Policy Research. My prime field of expertise is national security, but I also do look at economic issues, sometimes some cultural issues as well, and also cyber war issues as part of national security, but I look sometimes at telecom issues as well. And the one-stop shop for my content is a blog, Letter from the Capitol, OL, sponsored by Discovery Institute, but I'm founder, editor, and solely responsible for content. And there, people can also link to my Twitter page to follow me. They can buy my books, the most recent being Sleepwalking with the Bomb, just released in second edition on nuclear proliferation and the rising dangers we face. You can link to my articles as well as my blog, including postings on my blog. So it's a one-stop shop, Letter from the Capitol.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Great to be with you again.
First off, before we get to Gaza and everything else, since you look at things from a cultural perspective, what's going on with our culture since this administration has come into power?
Well, what's going on with the culture is, I think, a further decline. You have a White House that welcomes gangster rappers and the like, and even people from Hollywood in great numbers in there. Michelle Obama goes on the Oscar show, and the White House is supposed to stand for the very best in our culture, and I don't think that this White House has done so. Just the other day, we saw some famous rapper, I can't remember which one, boast about how he got high in the White House. Do we really need to hear this? And some of the videos and stuff that are on there, needless to say, hardly the best in our culture. We have a lot of wonderful music in our culture. There are a lot of films that are, you know, jazz and classical music, for example. There are a lot of films made these days that are cartoonish and have enormous amounts of violence, to say nothing of other things, and it's too bad because there is a lot of talent, and there certainly could be a better use made of it.
Well, since this administration has come to power, I believe there's been a war on traditional institutions, whether it's the White House, whether it's marriage. And what effects have we seen from this, Jonathan?
Well, I think that what we have seen is a president who has spread this postmodern type of attitudinal cool, which questions sort of everything traditional and even sort of wink-wink laughs at it a lot. And it doesn't replace it with anything that provides comparable social and familial structure. So that can't be a good thing. It also encourages a lot of the kind of attitudes. Braggadocio is very much a part of this modern cool, whereas cool was 50 years ago in the old-time Hollywood. People who were cool were those who were calm and composed, and they didn't go around tooting their own horn. So I don't think that that helps things either.
Well, that's really what concerns me, sir, is the idea that we've turned the president and the first lady into vehicles to be on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Yeah, we have a celebrity culture that is, and I think over the last 20 years, really, this continues a trend that I think has been going on for 20 years. We have become culturally, you could say, I said it in the 90s in the context of the scandals then, Clintonized, we could say Obamaized today, in that we have a fixation with and largely an insensitivity to scandals involving the government, particularly. We have become Oprahized, a therapeutic talk show type culture, and Dianaized in the sense of Princess Diana being a celebrity princess. And what we have here now is we have created celebrity politicians. They tend to be Democratic because that's where most of the culture is leaning left. So someone like Hillary is a celebrity candidate. You know, she has 100% name recognition. She and Obama were presented as icons, he of being an African-American candidate and she being a female candidate. And identity politics and just a general infatuation with celebrities seems to be very much in vogue, and I don't think that's a good thing either.
Jonathan Wolstetter with us here. Letter from the Capitol as we move on here at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's talk a little bit about Israel. And I'm going to play something for you, Jonathan. I think you'll appreciate it. This is from Attorney Chris Troupas. He was on our program.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
How do we address the seriousness of what's going on in the Middle East with folks that have just checked out?
Well, it is very, very hard to do so. I think most people, at least those who watch the news, seeing rockets getting fired into Israel's major cities, would probably have the passing thought that if rockets were fired into their cities, they'd want their government to do something about it. Unfortunately, we have an administration that has presided over a serious diminishing of America's interest, influence overseas, downsizing our military, retreating from various places, unilaterally declaring an end to wars that the other side keeps fighting. In the case of Israel, I think Americans probably don't have a lot of information as to the background of these conflicts. Indeed, many of our leaders don't. And so it becomes very hard, and as a result, the administration gets a freer hand than it would otherwise have, and this administration believes Israel should essentially concede everything to the Palestinians in return for a promise of peace that would be utterly unenforceable and I think would likely lead to more wars.
So when we take a look at what's going inside, let's talk a little bit about Hamas, because they're both, Hamas is a terrorist group and a political party.
Well, that's right. And that essentially, it's one of the forms of Islamism. And Islamist parties are political. They're not really religious parties. Hamas is a political movement. Its name is an acronym for Islamic Resistance Movement. This was a movement made for the purpose of destroying the State of Israel, explicitly. The Palestinian Liberation Organization, Yasser Arafat's group, was also dedicated to destruction of Israel. It's now the Palestine Authority, and they exercise a little bit more finesse, but Hamas makes no pretense of it. And it's closely affiliated with other Islamist movements like the Muslim Brotherhood, which held power in Egypt for a while until it tried to turn Egypt into a Sharia state, and there was a popularly supported uprising against it. And they should be distinguished somewhat from so-called Salafist movements, which are fundamentalist religious movements. These are primarily political movements, and they make expedient alliance, and they would, of course, enforce that Sharia. But it's a very sinister and dangerous movement, and Israel is looking at the prospect that if they don't eliminate the threat now, they're going to face a worse threat down the road, because the next generation of rockets that Hamas is likely to get are going to be much more accurate. And they have to worry about the West Bank, because that's much closer to Ben-Gurion Airport. And if you could target Ben-Gurion Airport with a barrage of missiles, you might be able to overwhelm missile defense systems and shut down the airport. And Israel would have no choice then but to go into the West Bank, which is 20 times the size of Gaza, and engage in a very costly operation. And Israel takes casualties to spare innocent Palestinians, as their ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, said recently. And we're fighting, you know, they're fighting people, and it is really weak, because Israel's fight is our fight, whether this administration understands it or not. They're fighting people who, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said some days ago when he did an interview, he said, we're using missiles to protect our civilians, and they're using civilians to protect their missiles.
Jonathan
Very
Wohlstetter.
Difficult to fight such people.
Jonathan Wohlstetter, our guest, letterfromthecapitol.com, his blog where you can catch up with all things Jonathan. With all things Jonathan, I have to hit you with this, though. How significant, how much of a game changer is it with these crazy tunnels? I hear we're not talking like the Viet Cong tunnels. We're talking about cement tunnels with water, millions of dollars to make these things. And the Israelis are having trouble. I mean, one guy was out in his lawn hanging out. The next thing he knows, a terrorist pops up from a secret tunnel.
Well, this is a game changer indeed. The tunnels right now are a greater threat to Israel than the rockets. And in a 14-kilometer zone, which is roughly not quite 9 miles, 15 kilometers is 9 miles, they have the Palestinians have 1,200 tunnels. So Gaza is 20 times larger. So what would they have, 24,000 tunnels? This absolutely is a desperately deadly threat. And there were cases where they were close to kibbutzes and they discovered these tunnels. And they could have gone in there and just massacred people. So it's a very severe threat. And it's united across Israel. It has united the Israelis. Even Tzipi Livni, the justice minister, who was very dovish, who ran well to the left of Netanyahu, and actually in 2009, the first time, she got the most seats in the Knesset, 28, her party did, and Likud got 27, Netanyahu's party, and now, just 3 years later, they run a new election, and a snap election, and she got 7 seats down from 28 because she was very dovish. And now she's on board. She says, we have to eliminate these tunnels. So there's an immense support across the spectrum of Israeli society, except for fringes on the far right and far left, who support what Netanyahu is doing. He's in the center of where Israeli politics is toward the Palestinians, which this administration does not seem to grasp.
More coming up with our friend Jonathan Wohlstetter next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, we have another RSVP for Lionheart Tactical. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, will join us. It'll be very exciting to see the witty Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, since he has his pithy comments with us on Facebook. Jonathan Wohlstetter with us once again from the Discovery Institute, letterfromthecapitol.com, his blog, talking about cyber war, terrorism, the Middle East, and all things that scare us. Jonathan, let me hit you with this. How much has ISIS changed the game, and did we have any idea just how scary this group would be?
Well, it has changed the game significantly because it has come from virtually nowhere 2 or 3 years ago, and it is now considered more powerful and influential than Al-Qaeda in the Middle East. So it has come a long way. It is extremely dangerous. They are, if it's possible, they are even more violent to the point where Al-Qaeda, although obviously only for public relations reasons, has disavowed them. It's not because anything they do distresses Al-Qaeda, except to the extent that it may rally sentiment against the Islamist, various Islamist groups.
And again, just coming out of nowhere, they're so violent that Al-Qaeda has renounced them. How significant is it that they've pretty much dismantled what took us years to build in Iraq?
Well, it's extremely significant because America had an enormous stake in seeing to it that Iraq remained relatively stable. America then also could have controlled the airspace and prevented the Iranians from resupplying Hafez, Bashar Assad in Syria. And also the retreat from there is viewed as a sign of weakness, and this is very dangerous. If you go back to bin Laden's original decrees, fatwas that he issued, bin Laden talks about how we abandoned our people in Vietnam, talked about even Mogadishu in 1993 in Somalia, where when we were going in hunting a warlord, which we were doing at the behest of the UN, which has a knack for getting people into trouble, including us, and a firefight ensued, and we lost 18 dead, 75 wounded, with three of our brave soldiers dragged through the streets of Mogadishu, we pulled out. And in doing so, that was interpreted by Al-Qaeda very differently than we did here. We were very upset about it here, but few people thought it would have consequences other than an embarrassment at the time, or that it would. But in fact, Al-Qaeda looked at that and said, America's on the run, and they drew the not very logical conclusion that we would then not respond if they knocked down a couple of towers and killed thousands of our people, which turned out, of course, not to be the case. So anytime you're perceived as retreating in that part of the world, it's a very tough neighborhood, and one hates to use schoolyard imagery, but the fact is bullies look for weakness, for passivity, retreat. And that just doesn't work in international politics. The forces that are most likely to move in most cases, if we retreat, are going to be malignant forces, hostile to America, and the president is learning this the hard way.
Jonathan Wohlstetter, our guest, as we continue on. Kevin Miller in the morning, letterfromthecapitol.com. What about the border?
Well, the president has abandoned the notion of sovereignty to the extent that he has an open border. And apparently they're telling the Border Patrol people, there are reports in the last couple of days, not to seriously enforce the law and warning them not to tell the media about it, which is not a good sign. The president wants to bring in a lot of people who he believes will be dependent and will become Democratic voters. And that's really what's driving this, I think. Also, he wants to try and blackmail Congress into passing an immigration reform bill. The reform would lead, if not to outright amnesty, it would lead to a lot more immigrants coming in and without the kind of differentiation between, for example, skilled immigrants and unskilled that the Republicans are looking for. I do think, though, that the American public looks at that and they expect the president to defend the borders. So this could be a big issue in the fall, and it will not help the Democrats.
Anything that we should be looking out for?
In the case of the immigration thing?
Yes.
Well, the main thing is that they are sending them out to states without telling the governors. So, and you're also getting people who are not pre-screened health-wise, and you may see some strains of disease emerge. It's a terrible thing. The main thing they should do is they should return these children to their parents. Sure, the places they live are terrible, but that's true all over the world. And if you don't do that, they'll send more. They go on this 1,700-mile train ride, and they're in the not very tender care of coyotes, smugglers, the drug cartels, and the gangbangers, And then when they come here, many of them will have been abused viciously. And then all of a sudden now we're going to be compassionate. This is like inviting somebody across the street knowing they'll get run over by a car. And after they do, you pick them up, you get a stretcher, you take them to the hospital. This is not going to end well.
Jonathan, good to have you. We'd love to have you back. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, likewise, Kevin, to be with you and your audience. And I'll have more on these subjects on Letter from the Capitol.
Take care, sir.
Thank you. You too.
That's our friend Jonathan Wohlstetter, letterfromthecapitol.com. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
I think everybody understands health insurance may end up costing $100 or less. It may end up costing less than your cable bill or your cell phone bill. No matter what you've heard, if you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it. Period.
Lights, 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 yeah.
Knowing you can offer your family the security of health care, that's priceless. And now you can do it for less than your cell phone bill.
Lights, 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 yeah. Lights, 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 yeah.
It's time to bring down the cost for the entire country.
And we'll cut the cost of a typical family's health care by up to $2,500 per year.
And if you've got health care, we're going to work with your employer to lower your premiums by $2,500 per family per year.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
There we go. That should be the theme song for this administration. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. All right, let's continue on here. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And a couple comments. Number one, you may have missed it yesterday, the governor saying, and I saw it on Facebook first, it was interesting, that the governor used Facebook, I guess the press release, if you haven't heard, the governor has told the feds to go shove it if they want to bring in the illegals here. Now, unlike other shows, and by the way, if you notice, we're the only anyone around that ever says other shows. You know what I'm saying? We'll sit there and mention the national shows, the local shows. Why? Because we like to be just like your friend sitting here having a cup of coffee. So unlike the other shows, we encourage people to call in. In fact, we love it when people call in so much they become contributors to the program. Now, you're a contributor if you just listen to the program, but I love the crew, the militia that we continue to build here at 580 KIDO, the Miller Militia, right? So I'm sitting here thinking about this and thinking about what's going on the border. And we've had people call in, take me to task for disagreeing with the unsubstantiated, rampant speculation that makes all of us on the right look bad when we accuse the state of housing illegals without any evidence. And by the way, you could ask Ray Amaya. He answers the phones. Ray Amaya, investigative reporter, he went out there and checked it out. He didn't see anybody there. We've called the National Guard, no illegals there, and now the governor makes it official. So to our friends, you know, we give people on the left a hard time. To our friends on the right, hey, the governor said no to the illegals. Great move by him. No illegals coming to Idaho. He said so. And then I got our friend Tea Party Bob saying, well, we're talking about the Orchard Combat Center. Hey, when you refuse to see the truth, and I'm not talking about you, Tea Party Bob, but for others, when you refuse to see the truth out in front of you, I think then you have issues, legitimate issues with reality. Let's go to the phones, and we go to Walt in Nampa at 580 KIDO with K. Milley in the morning. Hello, Walt.
Good morning. Kudos to the governor. Bravo. Anyway. The reason I called was you were talking about health insurance earlier.
Yes.
I'm a retired life and health agent. And contrary to what most people think, I never carried the normal health insurance policy that everybody thinks about, where you worry about your how much your company's going to pay the doctor for your office calls. That's when you stop and you balance monthly premiums. If you have a, see, I looked at it this way. I had a fairly healthy background. Kids were fairly healthy, the wife, everybody else. So what I did was I took the amount of money that a premium would cost me, put it in the bank, and forgot it. Had a high deductible health insurance policy to cover major medicals. Now, if you can afford to buy a car, you can afford to cover a high deductible policy. Follow me?
I'm listening.
Okay. So if you stop and you figure out over 10, 20 years how much money you're actually saving by going and paying the doctor for an office call, things are changing nowadays because you can get concierge doctors, that sort of thing, which helps out. And the other thing for stuff like a broken arm, broken leg, or something like that, you can actually, or if you need an appendix operation, you can negotiate with your doctors how much he's going to charge you. If you're talking the fact that you're going to pay him cash on the spot.
I don't believe you.
You don't, huh?
No, I mean, we had Andrew call in and say the same things. When I go to the doctor's office, whether I have insurance or not, it's the flat rate. You're saying that you can go into a doctor's office and say, hey, I'm going to pay cash, and they're going to give you a discount.
Well, not all doctors are going to do it because some of them are not set up to do it. They have this big back office that has to be paid for one way or the other. That's what you're paying for with a lot of these costs.
Got to pay for the TV in the lobby.
Yeah, well, when my wife fell down, broke her arm, and shattered it, took her into a doctor. He says, we got to remove the bone chips immediately. They got to be done in the next 24 hours. I said, okay. We negotiated where they're laying on the table, negotiated his charges. He was on staff at the hospital, called the hospital. 2 o'clock that afternoon, we went into the hospital. She got the work done, picked her up at 4 o'clock, took her home, and I paid a total of about, if I remember correctly, it was around $700 for this whole thing. Then the hospital, I don't know, several weeks later, sent me a bill for a couple of $3,000. And they said, hey, and I said, wait a minute, I already paid for all of this.
I think I remember this story.
Sorry. Yeah, okay. So the point is, I'm getting at is that you can negotiate with some of this stuff being done. My son has a $20,000 deductible health insurance policy. He just went through, $10,000. He followed my advice. He just went through a bout with prostate cancer. His insurance company paid just about totally everything that was there of his costs. So this business of you got to have health insurance that covers everything. People got to stop and think about what it is, their situation, before they get all carried away with this.
All right, Walt, thank you for the call. We go to Liberal Steve, who has RSVP'd for tomorrow morning. We have Tea Party Bob, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, Liberal Steve, Two Fly Bry, already attending our big event tomorrow at Lionheart Tactical. Good morning, Liberal Steve.
What this state needs is a liberal enema. Perry, doing a good job down there in Texas. Those guardsmen will be out there in 45 days. You know, the word's out. They'll be out there in 45 days. And I got it through good rumor sources, you know, like your Klein guy. I got it through good sources.
Actually, his stuff is well-researched, and if it wasn't, he would be sued.
Yeah, right. Come on. So anyway, they know they're. I think you're trying to discourage my concentration. That's what you're doing, Mr. Miller, and you've got to stop that. Anyway, down there in I'm doing the Walt anyway. Anyway, down there in Texas, the 45 days, the word's out that they're just going to move to some other area other than Texas for a while until they pull the guard in. And rumor has it that when President Obama was down there and him and Perry had a little off the record, off the books talk to the side, was Perry, you know, Homeland Security just having a hard time recruiting qualified people to work that border. All we're getting is nutcases
who want to come
in there and carry a rifle.
You've lost me like Mark lost me the other day with the Bilderbergers.
How can I lose you?
And you know when you lose me, you know what happens. What happens when you lose the host? That means you're losing the listeners, which means it costs us audience, which could cost me my job. So you know what that means.
I'm just saying the taxpayers.
You know what that means. You gotta go. This is not
now.
Very compelling.
Let me give Idaho their liberal enema.
You already did. Let's see. Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Hello, Patriot Ray.
Hey, there is a man that I know. He is the star of the Kevin Miller Show. K. Millie is the man.
Well, that was pretty good.
Hey, my friend. You just stay fired up. I love listening. I love talking. I love contributing when I have something to really say. But
well, I wish you were going to be here Saturday, but it's your anniversary, so I get it. But you're welcome to stop by tomorrow there by Merritt's if you're in the area.
Well, I think my wife and I might just stop in tomorrow sometime.
We might have to have a talk with her then.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks a lot, my friend. Have a great show. It's a great show as always. We love it. We just want you to be here forever.
Me too. Thank you.
Hang in there. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Patriot Ray. God bless. Our great friend Patriot Ray, here he is. He never misses a Saturday, except when he wants to go talk to a bunch of kids in Idaho Falls. Still haven't forgotten that one. Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller.
Well, you got my dander up this morning, buddy.
You know something? That's how I show my affection.
You know, here's the governor that's saying we're not going to have any illegals in Idaho.
The governor has saved us once again. You should
be
happy.
This is the same governor said we weren't going to have a state health care exchange in Idaho. And did it on the news, the same way he's doing this. Can you really believe this guy?
I believe him.
Yeah, well, you believed him the last time, and you got a health care exchange, and your rates are going up. How do you feel about that?
I feel that the governor is protecting us.
Boy, I'm going to have you know, Steve is right. You need an enema.
You know, the governor won the election, by the way.
Yeah, unfortunately, by such a small margin.
Didn't you say that the governor was going to lose, though?
The smallest margin in history.
Didn't you say the governor was going to lose, though?
Yeah, I'd like to see the governor lose.
But he did win.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens the next election. You know, you keep putting these people, the same people, back in office. They keep doing the same things over and over again. And then they come out and expect the people to believe them. The next time they come out with another story. I'm tired of the stories. How about bringing up some of the scandals, like the Wi-Fi incidents?
You know, Kalamazoo, Michigan's looking for a talk show host. I think they filled the Cheyenne, Wyoming position.
I'm not interested in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I almost wound up there by mistake on a plane.
Well,
I was able to get off just before they were ready to take off the tarmac.
That's good to know. So we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. This is going to be like 2 days in a row with you.
I don't know whether you can handle it. I'll probably show up sometime around 7 tomorrow, maybe a little earlier.
Well, bless your heart that you're going to come in late. Better late
I've
than
got
never.
I've got company here. My sister-in-law's in. I had to spend some time with her in the morning. You know, breakfast and stuff.
What are you going to do? You're going to talk, catch up? You already caught up.
I'm going to catch you tomorrow.
All right, Tea Party Bob. See ya.
Take care.
Our friend Tea Party Bob. Remember, Lionheart Tactical. We're going to be there from 5 to 9 on State Street over by Merritt's. Free scones from Merritt's. Let's see. Who do we have coming? We have Liberal Steve, who's mad that he's not allowed in the building anymore. Tea Party Bob, possibly Patriot Ray and Mrs. Patriot Ray. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. That's quite an eclectic group. Two Fly Bri, maybe he'll have a ditty. But deals all day long on guns, ammunition at Lionheart Tactical. Again, we're looking forward to it. I love getting out, so it'll be a great experience. It is 8:51. Let's get you to traffic at 580.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, you think you got issues. How about this? A local couple, this is from Channel 7, claims a wedding venue owes them a refund after they say they were forced to change locations after the venue was altered weeks before the wedding, from the dress to the photographer to the flowers. We love those wedding flowers. Jessica Paulson says her wedding day was everything she dreamed of. Everything went off without a hitch. I wasn't stressed at all. I was just ready for it. Apparently, they went down to the venue, and they were going to through the final measurements of everything. They paid for the wedding, pointed to the contract, and apparently, it changed on them, so now they want their money back. To have your biggest problem be a wedding venue. To be young again, to be young again. Other issues, though, and I put this out on the Kevin Miller Facebook, which is really, I guess, the best way to reach me when I'm not here in my little box speaking through speakers to yap to you. What I'm basically saying is, look, the governor said no to the illegals, so the illegals aren't coming. Now we've got the Boise rabble-rouser, who's sitting back here going, Butch metaphorically went to the top of Bora Mountain to shout meaningless bumper stickers at the Obama administration. If the administration wanted to fly a plane load of refugees into Mountain Home to wait to be processed, according to the law, Idaho couldn't do a thing. Well, yeah, but they couldn't come on state land now, could they? And it would be done at federal expense, not the state of Idaho, as Otter says. Yeah, however, Federal Express is our expense. We're still paying, right? Let's get you to work safely and on time. 580-859. Remember, tomorrow, Lionheart Tactical. We're going to give away tickets to Big and Rich, Two Fly Bri, Tea Party Bob, Patriot Ray, Mrs. Patriot Ray, Alan L. Morton, Attorney at Law, and Liberal Steve, and hopefully you. Great discounts all day long. Join us. Start your day with us. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Keep the faith. God bless. Thanks for listening.